listening to Better Times After 50, and I am here with Dr. Steve Mason.
Hello there, Di. How are you? And, you know, you look so great. I wonder if you're going to get anything out of today's shows. We're going to be talking about health and fitness and weight loss. You don't need any of that stuff. You're terrific just as you are.
Oh, come on. Thank you so much. I realize that one of our challenges in life is to learn to accept compliments gracefully, but thank you. Thank you. But, you know,
Wait, it's your turn to say something nice about me now.
Well, little cutie.
Okay.
Do I need to say anything nicer than
that? No. That'll
You're
do
You're my favorite skeptic.
Yes, that's right.
May I say that?
You can say that.
Okay, great. Well, we are going to have a great show today. And by the way, you are listening to 1680 AM in Whittier, California. And we're delighted to have you listening to us. We're also broadcasted everywhere on the World Wide Web, on the Internet.
Yeah, and you know, awesome. That's true. I have a friend in Wales who listens to the
show. Who listens to the show. That's awesome.
Didn't you tell me we had somebody in Birmingham or someplace like that?
Well, we've got listeners in Birmingham. We've got listeners all over North Dakota. Oh, my gosh. Vermont. We've got listeners from all over, and it's really great. And today's topic, by the way, is going to be about this new phenomenon. I think it's been spurred on by The Biggest Loser, this whole phenomenon about having weight loss challenges. So we're going to be talking about the weight loss challenges that are going on in Southern California. And in the second half of the hour, once we finish talking with Dr. Cheryl Coker and Katie Carr, who are the women we have on the show telling us about the weight loss challenges today, then we're going to talk with Dr. Judith Clare, who is a therapist in Santa Monica, and she's going to talk about the concept of body image.
We've had her with us before.
We have. We have had Dr. Clare. We've had Judith Clare on before, and today we're going to focus on the body image issues that exist in our country that seem to be very interesting. Let's just say that. They're very interesting, and I know from the perspective of being a over 50 female, I know I out myself every time I do the show, but the fact is we get a lot of confusing messages, and as women, it can be extremely difficult wondering how to deal with the messages that we get that are so mixed about what we should look like, what we should be eating, what we shouldn't be eating, what sort of a size we should be trying to be. There are just so many things. So we're going to talk about that in the second half of the hour with Judith Clare, and I think it's going to be great.
I think so, and I think we do pay a lot of attention to how we look.
And I'm hoping that we have the ladies with us now. I'm hoping I hit the right button on the phone.
Ladies, are you out there? Ladies, are
you
out there?
Yes.
There they are.
Okay.
Welcome to the show. And we have with us now Dr. Cheryl Coker and Katie Carr. And these two ladies, as I said earlier, are running weight loss challenges in Orange County, California. And the weight loss challenge idea has become huge in America.
That's a word you want to avoid this morning.
Huge. I'm sorry. We're not talking about being huge. But the concept is huge.
It's a very popular concept.
But you know what's really disgusting is even though I would be considered a normal-sized person, I feel huge. And I'm wondering, is that just a cultural thing that we all are just so programmed to feel huge? But before we get to that part of the show, Katie Carr, Dr. Coker, why don't you introduce yourselves?
Okay, hello. Well, thank you so much. My name is Katie Carr, and thank you. And I just want to thank you for having us on the call here today and thank all the listeners for taking the time out of their busy schedules to listen to our broadcast today. And everyone here on the call taking a step forward toward your personal and wellness goals. And today we want to provide you with information and inspiration to set attainable weight loss and wellness goals to achieve life-changing results. And our motto is lose weight, be healthy and fit, and enjoy life more. And I've been a personal wellness coach for 14 years, so I'm outing myself too. And this program has allowed me to have freedom and flexibility while raising my three children. And before becoming a wellness coach, I was working in the corporate world, and I felt like I was trading dollars for hours. And I wanted to make a difference in my community and impact adults as well as children. And I myself have always battled with my weight since I was a child and until I learned proper nutrition. And once I got my body in balance, I lost 20 pounds, went down a clothing size, and got increased energy, which helped me sleep better as well. And so you can't put a price on price tag on that. And right. This was the beginning of my journey. And
wow.
So I'll let Cheryl introduce herself.
Please do. Dr. Cheryl Coker, tell us about yourself.
Well, I've been in dentistry for 20 plus years, and I started getting interested in weight loss and health through my own personal health issues. I had thyroid disease, and I also have a family history of diabetes. So through basically dealing with my own personal issues, I have been for quite a few years learning about weight loss and nutrition. I started becoming a volunteer as a personal wellness coach about 9 months ago, and it is just an amazing feeling when you touch people's lives and make a positive influence to them.
And
the nice thing is, this is truly one of the most enjoyable non-jobs I've ever had.
Right,
so
right.
It is really, you know, an inspiration to me, hopefully, as well as I am to others.
Well, why do you two think, this goes along the lines of what you were just saying, Dr. Coker, about how you like touching people's lives with this. What is so interesting to me is that we've gotten to the point where, even though we have so much food that's always in front of us, we're getting to the point where we've got such a conundrum over sitting down to eat. And it's gotten to the point where you have to touch people's lives to help them get through this.
Well, one of the things that about our weight loss challenge that makes our program so effective is that they're not doing it alone. Nobody wants to feel that they're alone in making decisions. People who have weight problems, it has taken them a while to get to the point where they feel they have a weight problem. And so now we want to show them that they're not alone. We help them with support groups. And by doing this, they're in a free, stress-free environment that allows them to ask questions. And also they can share in other people's experiences.
Yeah.
And the leader, like if I was the coach, would help empower them and create an environment so that their voice matters and that we make sure that their feelings are heard so we can help them achieve their goals.
We are social animals, and I think there's nothing that motivates us quite so much as somebody else coming and joining in.
Yeah, totally. And I love the way you said that, Dr. Coker. You said they have a voice and people will hear their voice in this group. Now, there are some things that you guys use that you were telling me about earlier that has helped you create success with this. How does this work?
Well, it is a 12-week program. Every week we have a different health topic that deals with our nutrition program. The wonderful thing about this is it's affordable for anybody. It's only $39. That's for a 12-week program. Mm-hmm. And $10 goes to a organization called GoFit Kids, which helps prevent and teach about childhood obesity. And $25 goes back into the pot where our weight loss challengers can compete for the money.
Whoa.
So this
awesome.
Way, friendly competition helps inspire people, too.
Oh, my gosh.
12 weeks for $39.
That is an incredible bargain for achieving such goals.
Yeah.
Right.
Well, this is our community service. We're doing this.
Right.
And we are volunteers, so this is our way of giving back to the group. I think that Katie will help explain that.
Absolutely. Katie, tell us more about that, because this sounds like the deal of the century, really.
Yeah, it's so much fun, too. We have a really great time, and losers are winners. Everyone likes a little friendly competition. The competition creates committed people, provides a supportive group, and really creates a fun environment where everyone is motivated, thus ensuring solid results. And our mission is nutrition through social action and community service. So what we do is we plan on educating our communities about the importance of how weight loss has a direct impact on wellness. And said differently, if you want to feel healthy, more youthful, and have more energy, weight loss will be a vital part of reaching your goal. And so that's really what we try to instill in the participants.
Mm-hmm. Now, have you got to the point where you have to turn anyone away on this? It just seems to me that once the word gets out on something like this, you could have some door crashing going
you mean,
on.
You mean the classes would be so full?
Would be big. But that's probably a dream come true for you too.
Well, we like to have the classes. We like to have the classes at about 25 participants, so that we can give people one-on-one attention as well.
Yeah.
But you brought up a really great point. The only time that we've ever had to turn someone away is if they're not doing something healthy for their body.
Oh.
I've had an instance where a gal, she was losing 12 pounds 1 week and 14 pounds another week, and that's because she was literally starving her body and living on a liquid diet. So we really can't condone that. We really want people to lose weight by, you know, eating healthy, and that's what we teach is proper nutritional habits.
Now, I like that. I thought when you started saying this, I thought you were going to say you kick people out if they do like what I just did. I just had the pancake puppies at Denny's, you know, and I'm thinking, okay, you find, you know, I was going to keep it a secret, but okay, you found out, so I'm kicked out of the program, you know. So to you, the worst thing, though, is not if they slip up and indulge in something like that occasionally, but if they start doing something that's actually detrimental to their health.
Exactly.
You know, and the funny thing about those little puppies you were having,
they're
was
so
a big
good.
Sign there.
They're really good.
And it's a big sign there, and it said, this is a breakfast appetizer.
Oh,
you need an appetizer for your
breakfast. This is new, ladies. You probably haven't, well, we won't say the name of the restaurant. We're talking about the pancake puppies. Probably everybody knows, but they now call those a breakfast appetizer.
I didn't realize
they now have appetizers for breakfast.
Right. Yes. And we were talking after we saw that sign, of course, all the way in, we were talking about how, oh my goodness, we are now having appetizers that are probably 1,000 calories before we even get to the main breakfast meal.
Mm-hmm. You know, you were saying that you want people to get with the program and you don't want them to drink only liquids or starve themselves and go for big numbers. It is amazing how much of a difference something like 3 or 4 or 5 pounds will make. I know that when I go on a diet, first few pounds, I feel my pants starting to get loose. And many years ago, I had this girlfriend who came to the house, and she was complaining she'd been on a diet for 2 weeks, and she only lost 6 pounds. As luck would have it, I was making barbecued spare ribs, and I had 6 pounds of barbecued spare ribs. And it was this enormous heap of meat on this platter, and I said, well, this is what you lost. And suddenly, at 6 pounds, which doesn't sound like a lot, you look at it, it's a lot.
Yeah.
Did you ever see Oprah where she comes out with that wheelbarrow of how much she lost?
Oh, my goodness. My goodness. Mm-hmm. Well, how much do we need to lose, ladies? How is this competition based so that it's fair for people?
It's the competition is based on the top 3% of body fat loss. So it's fair for everybody, whether you have 10 pounds or 100 pounds. Everyone has an equal chance to win. And so we calculate that on a computer program where we input each week how many pounds and how many inches they've lost each week. And then we're able to calculate that at the end of the 12 weeks. And then on our 13th week, we have the celebration and the big payout. Now, I had a challenge recently where they lost a total of, the participants lost a total of 390 pounds and 319 inches in 12 weeks. So we get great results.
Oh, wow. That's so awesome. Totally awesome. And, you know, I love the comment that Steve just made about how when he loses a couple of pounds, he feels his pants sort of get a little loose around the waist.
Yeah.
And let's face it, how many of us actually use that as our basis for, ooh, you know, what am I doing with my food? My pants are tight. I actually go through that every morning, though. I have to admit, but then, you know, I've never met a piece of fat or sugar I didn't like. So, but is that how most of us look at it? We want to be comfortable again in our own skin or in our clothes, or is that a common sort of analogy?
Oh, that is absolutely common. On our first meeting, one of the things we do is we congratulate people for being there.
Yes.
Whatever motivates you, we get people telling us that they're there because they're going to a reunion, or people who want to get back into their skinny jeans, or people who want to look good for their wedding. So those are all common reasons for starting on your journey of a better, healthy lifestyle.
You know,
so
you're
we've
right.
We've heard all kinds
yeah.
of things.
Yeah, and you know, there's that expression, I think Woody Allen and who knows who else has said it, but 98% of success is just showing up.
Absolutely.
And if you can get yourself in the door, you'll get into it, and you're bound to actually have some great results happen. Back to the social thing, don't you think, Dr. Steve?
Oh, I certainly agree. And I like what these ladies are saying about a lifestyle, about a journey, about enjoying your day-to-day life more. Some years ago, I asked somebody if they would want 20 pounds of silver. And, of course, they said, oh, yeah, sure. And I said, okay, here. The only catch is I'm going to put it in a sack, I'm going to tie it around your neck, and everywhere you go for the next 30 days, you have to carry this sack.
Oh, my
20
gosh.
Pounds of, and then you can have the 20 pounds of silver. Well, of course, that turned it all around, and people don't realize how an extra 10 or 20 pounds, which is not uncommon here in the States, can really interfere with your lifestyle and your journey.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And what are the biggest obstacles that everybody's facing? Do we all face the same common obstacles when we go into something like this?
Yeah, chicken wings. That's the biggest
obstacle.
Well, one of the biggest obstacles we find is that there are people in your own family that sometimes are enablers.
Oh,
that's a good point.
Oh.
They want to keep you where you
are. Oh,
they,
do we know this one? Oh.
Yes, and the thing is sometimes your family, though they love you, they love you just the way you are.
Yeah.
Or they look at you and you are starting to show some success, and they sabotage it because maybe they're not achieving their success. And that's another reason why a support group is so important, is because if you're not getting the support at home, that's what we're here for, is to help you out.
I don't even think this is a question of if you're not. I think for the most part, you're not. And you're right. It's so important to have that social, because it almost has to become your surrogate family. That group of people you're losing weight with has to become the most important group to you for that period of time.
Oh, yeah. It is. Also, we've discovered just from our own classes that when people share the stories of what their successes are, it also inspires other people.
Oh, yeah.
And when they see that you're going through the same thing they are and you have come out a success, it makes it, you know, it makes it a lot easier for you. We run these classes sometimes back to back to back. So we have new people and people who have been there more than one time, and then they are able to tell them some of the things that they have done that have worked with them, and that makes all the difference in the world. Because if you're just starting and you're in this group and you have no clue of how it's going to work, and you have somebody there who's already experienced success, it really helps.
Now, do you find that for most people who really have to watch their weight and really do need to work at being healthy with their nutrition, being at a healthy weight, do you find that most of them have tried and failed? I don't even like to use the term failed, but have tried on many occasions to achieve the weight loss they want, and they haven't been able to do it?
I would say that that's probably 75%
yeah.
of the people in our group
yeah.
have tried some form of weight loss programs. A lot of times is that they're doing it because, they are alone, and they truly do need the group environment. And Katie, I think, can help explain it, because she's been in this a lot longer than I have.
Sure, sure.
A lot of times what we're finding is, and myself too included, before I learned proper nutritional habits, daily habits that I can incorporate every single day, and that's what we teach in the challenges, is that we have people, and I'm sure everyone can relate to this, that are what we call yo-yo dieters, where they've gone on a diet and they've lost the weight, and then they regained the, when they got off the diet, then they went back to their old habits, regained the weight, and then what happens with the brain is it's not used to the weight it was, so you end up regaining more weight, and your metabolism slows down even further.
Yeah.
And so when that's very, very common, we see that, you know, almost with everybody.
I guess
and
you heard
so
this.
What we do is we try to teach proper nutritional habits. We try to give them little tips every single week that they can incorporate into their daily routine.
I guess you heard the story about the lady who lost 100 pounds, and you said, really? And she said, yeah, 5 pounds 20 times.
That would be most of us, right?
I think so, yeah.
Exactly. I guess, did you have a comment?
I always have a comment.
Oh, he always has a comment. Right, I can't believe I even asked that.
You know, I was at a restaurant the other day, and I saw something that was so appalling that I was tempted to call 911 and report child abuse, you know, that kind of thing. There were his parents, a mother and a father, and they had this little girl in between them. And mother and father looked like Tweedledee and Tweedledum, you know? And there was this little kid who was already overweight, and the mother was saying to her, now, if you don't finish all your food on the plate, you're not going to get any dessert. I mean, isn't that an example?
Well,
that goes beyond enabling.
Hey, right? The epitome of that example happened a couple of months ago when the world's fattest newborn was born.
Really?
The child was born at 15 pounds.
Wow. Lordy.
Did you not see this in the headlines?
I didn't see it.
Well,
yeah.
What is it coming to? And yes, both of the parents are obese.
Mm-hmm.
And she gave birth to a 15-pound baby, and everyone was talking about how cute and, oh, wow, it's a first, and isn't that amazing? And I thought to myself, oh, my goodness.
Well, we live in a land of the free, but I think some people ought to be controlled. If you go into a bar and you're already over the limit and the guy serves you a drink, you can sue him. Now, if a lady is 50 pounds overweight, does she have any excuse to go into a store and be sold a ham? I mean, I think that they should get those people over at Ralph's and they should say, we're going to sue you.
Well, you know, I think that has probably, aren't there some nutritional lawsuits on the books now where,
is that right?
Where obese, yes, have been suing, saying, well, and in fact, the fructose syrup, I think, is being cut out of restaurants now. And I thought to myself when I heard that, the only problem with that is it's going to be used as an excuse for people with weight problems to say, well, I can sue the restaurant for my weight problem. So I guess all around, I think this question speaks to accountability and responsibility. Why are we handing that off?
Yeah, I wonder, and I wonder, what is a realistic weight loss? What?
Yeah, that's, you know what, that's a great question. Number one, don't we have to take responsibility for ourselves on this? And number two, what is a healthy weight loss rate? Because obviously that's what you two are about.
Well, a healthy weight loss really depends on, that is one of the reasons why when we first see people, we get their weight, and then we measure them. We figure out their percent body fat, and we also figure out their resting metabolic rate. That's mm-hmm. basically, if all you did was breathe,
right,
how many calories. We then figure out how much activity we have, and from there, we then calculate how much weight we, whether they're going to lose 2 or 3 pounds, and we calculate their calorie intake. And what we have to do is, this is where it gets tricky, is you want people to cut down on their calories, but you don't want them to then cut down on their nutrition.
Right.
A lot of times what people do is that they cut back on their calories and they forget important things like
mm-hmm.
eating enough protein.
Mm-hmm.
The average woman needs to have 75 to 100 milligrams of protein. We Per day.
Per day, and yet we don't even know what that looks like, most of us.
Right.
What does that look? What is that? Is that a pile of ribs or is that a piece of chicken?
That's one of the things that we teach them in the class,
right,
is what does that look like?
Exactly.
And also another thing is to make sure that they get water every day, the right amount of water, mm-hmm, and also that they do not forget to get fiber in their diet.
Right. Fruits and vegetables. What a concept.
Oh, they absolutely. Mm-hmm. The thing is, we have to teach people to learn to balance their diet. We have an industry where people in the farming industry take better care of their cows. They give them the right amount of grain, the right amount of protein. They have whole industries that balance their rations.
Wow.
Yet,
you know, that,
as people, we do not balance our rations.
That is, you know, I've never looked at it that way, but that is a very interesting thing right there.
I'm always amazed, and I don't have a lot of trouble with my weight, but I'll go on a diet once a year or something like that. And when I come off the diet, I'm always amazed at how much other people eat.
Oh, yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Well, we have no portion control, really. And because we don't know what, as you were saying, Dr. Kirkle, we don't know what a few ounces looks like or a few milligrams. We have no clue even what we should be looking at in terms of what a plate full of food should really be. And I know when you go to Europe, for instance, you go to Italy or to France, especially in Italy, I notice this. We think that if you're going to eat Italian, i.e. pizza or spaghetti or something like that, you put a heaping pile of food on the plate. If you go to Italy and you eat, even in the neighborhood cafes where the food is absolutely amazingly nutritious, the portions fill up a tiny bowl. There's so little on the plate, and yet it's absolutely out of this world in taste. It's just a whole different... You're right. We don't know the balance.
One of the things is that people do is, over the years, our dinner plates have increased in size. So when you just like back when Coca-Cola was first started, it came in these little 6-ounce containers. Now you've got these big cans that are 20 ounces with Monster and so our idea of portion control and portion size has grown exponentially. And so is our waistlines.
I mean, I'm
so
ashamed
we need
to
go back to the proper portion control.
I'm ashamed to live in a country where we serve a big gulp.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Like, how much can you swallow at once?
But, you know, there was an interesting experiment done with two groups of people. They gave one large plates, and the other group they gave small plates, and they sent them over to a buffet. And the people who had the smaller plate ate less.
Right.
People had the larger plate, had to fill it up.
Yeah, I think that's the point here, isn't it, Dr. Kolker?
Oh, absolutely. Mm. A lot of people see buffets as a challenge.
Yeah.
It's all you can eat.
Oh. So
that's what they do.
Yes. Well,
instead of the smaller plates.
Right, and it's wildly popular. Wildly popular. Those places for lunch are always packed.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
You know, and I hate to be cynical, but this is, and I'm trying not to be because I can certainly go there on this topic, but I have to admit that I've never really had a true weight problem. I definitely had challenges when I hit 50, and I've worked very hard to, you know, to reduce those challenges as much as I can, but I can even admit that if you ask me to get on a scale, I am beside myself at the idea of seeing what I weigh. And that, you know, that's almost like if you boilerplate it all down, you know, there's something very unbalanced going on here. And that's a really good word for it. But listen, how can any listeners who would love to get in touch with you to talk more about this, if they would like to call you or email you, how can they do that?
Well, they can go to our website, which is www.11millionpounds.com.
I love that.
or they can give us a call at 949-854-1211, and they can ask any questions about our program, register for one of our classes, and we'd be more than happy to send them to one of the classes in their area.
I see you've got 949 area code. Where are you located?
Well, we have classes in Irvine, Mission Viejo, Anaheim, La Habra, and Dana Point, Laguna Niguel area at this time.
And yet, you would help others find the appropriate place for them if they call.
Absolutely.
Or go to the website. And I love that, 11millionpounds.com. I don't think anybody's going to forget that website name. Boy, that's an easy one to remember.
And if they want to telephone, it's 949-854-1211.
1211.
Yes.
Ladies, thank you so much, Dr. Cheryl Coker and Katie Carr.
You.
We've enjoyed having you on the show, and what you're doing is just incredibly wonderful. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank
bye
you.
Now.
Bye-bye. You just
know they're going to run out to the buffet and put Jell-O on their shrimp and everything else.
Well,
that's what people
know,
do. Did you ever go to a buffet? You see people get this big plate and they put Jell-O on
it. I know. Well, I think what happens when you go to buffets is the idea that, you know, that you can just go nuts. You can go wild. And,
oh, I do. I like
and pile it on.
Oh,
I mean,
yeah.
That's the idea. Fortunately, Steve, I have to say, fortunately for me, and since I always make this all about me, after all, fortunately for me, I do love fruits and vegetables. I could survive on, I mean, to me, going to a buffet and putting as much spinach, you know, fresh spinach and salad stuff on that plate as I can possibly put on there, that's exciting to me. Now, I will say, I do hit the dessert without fail, but I definitely pile on the fresh stuff. I love fresh vegetables, fresh fruit, anything that is crunchy and, you know, very yummy that way. So I guess I should be very thankful for that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you know, well, when I go to Las Vegas and you go to one of those buffets, I want everything that's coming to me, and if I'm not bleeding,
yeah,
then I didn't have a good time. But you see, I do that once in a while, and then I don't ever want to do it again. No, or not for,
I know,
not
I know.
For a few months. Yeah,
and that actually is a really good point, too, that everything
What is the word? Modification?
In
moderation.
Moderation,
okay.
Absolutely. Well, listen, we've got our next guest on the line. We're going to move right into...
Is English your first language, by the way?
Yeah. Well, you know, my mother was Norwegian Icelandic, and I can't understand those people, but maybe I heard a little too much of it as a kid. I don't know.
I think we've got our good friend Judith Clare with us.
We do. We have Judith Clare with us, and we just had a discussion with the ladies, Katie Carr and Dr. Cheryl Coker. You're listening to 1680 AM in Whittier, California, and Better Times After 50, which can be heard anywhere on the planet, and they're probably shipping these things to outer space now, too. So that's cool. We like that.
And she's Di Chapman, and I'm Steve Mason.
Definitely, unless somehow we managed to morph into different people while we were here. But we have Judith Clare on the line now. Judith has been with us before. She is a therapist psychologist in Santa Monica, California. And Judith, you've got some definite ideas about this body image topic, and I think that it really is worth delving into this with you. Hello.
Hi.
How are you?
I'm good. For some reason, this line is a little...
it's a little scratchy.
A little faint, yeah.
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 Hold on just a second.
Okay, well, we can have her project her voice.
This is better, yeah.
Oh, much better.
Yeah, okay.
Oh, that's like the voice from the heavens
sounds
coming
like
down.
Sounds
booming.
Like Orson Welles all
over. Thank you. Recognized at last.
Well, what is this all about with our culture, Judith? We've got... all of this myth about the perfect weight, which honestly tends to be leaning towards anorexia in our culture. That's all you see in all the ads and everything. And God forbid you cross 50 and all of a sudden you just bombarded with those images wondering what you're going to do. What is wrong here? Because we've got all these obese people running around. We've got anorexic images on the billboards telling us this is what we should be, what do we do?
I believe you have to go back to who you really are as a person and who you really are as a spirit and keep your values straight.
Mm.
We are born with whatever we're born with genetically. Some people are born so that they're going to be heftier. Some people are born so they're going to be slim. I'm very slim. I'm 5'3¾", and I weigh about 109 pounds, and I always have. My father was very slim. My build is slim. I eat well. I do yoga. But basically, I have that genetic gift, and it's a gift in this culture because slimness is admired. It wasn't a gift in other cultures.
Yeah.
It would have been considered scrawny, very unattractive, and even on the planet, there are some people who would find it so.
Right.
I once tried to give a quarter to a woman who was homeless, and she handed it back to me and said, "Go get something to eat."
Oh my gosh.
However,
oh my gosh.
Well, she's a professional homeless person. You know, I was coming out of Ralph's or someplace the other day, and there was a homeless person sitting there with this big sign, and it said, "Need $200. I was tempted to ask. Well, you know, I only had $87 on me, so I figured, no point in me.
Oh my gosh! Well,
but getting back to the point,
yes.
The point is that people have different body structures and they have different ways they're going to look, no matter what. Their faces are going to be different. Their hair is going to be different. So the first thing you have to do is accept what you're given. And understand that that's what you're given and find joy in what you're given.
Yeah, find joy in what you're given. That's a good point. Di was telling me about how lots of girls don't want to strip down because they're afraid of how their bodies look in front of their men. And I said, you know, men really like women's bodies.
Yeah, that's a big problem. I have 2 points here, one going back to the first point and one commenting on your point. I had a woman who had a very big tushy. She really did. It wasn't because she was overeating. It wasn't because she was not taking care of herself. It's, you know, what she had.
And that's a sign of beauty in some cultures.
Oh, isn't it, though? Yes.
It's absolutely a sign of beauty to some men.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
But the point is that she had an abhorrence of it. In our work, we worked on her loving her body, and in the end, she adored her tushy. She wore jeans that showed her tushy. And she has a very fabulous man in her life now who is a slimish kind of man, and he too adores her tushy.
Isn't that something? See, and I think it's amazing. This is where my mind is. I think it's amazing that you were actually able to work with her and help her to love her booty. Okay?
Yeah.
I'm trying to think if anyone could possibly help me love my tummy. I just don't know. I've been working on that for years, and honestly, I just don't know that I could ever love my tummy.
I saw you as kind of like having a six-pack there.
Well, I do have a six-pack, but it's under the tummy. There is definitely a six-pack, but it's under the tummy. But Judith, I honestly think, and I don't know what this says about me, but I think it has a lot to do with the man in your life as well. I think if the man in your life is telling you how much he loves or adores your body, or at least body parts, certain body parts, at least we get some kind of reinforcement of how we should love and enjoy our bodies.
Okay. I probably feel better if I had a man in my life to tell me how much he liked my body. You know, that I was watching one of those morning shows, I think it was just this last week, and they now have underwear for women that's padded. So you know about that.
Oh, that's been going on for a long time, Steve.
It's like tushy falsies.
Right. They just haven't been talking about it on TV.
Oh,
but now they
it?
Talk about anything on TV.
Yeah.
No.
Nobody
that's
ever,
been going on for a long time.
Nobody ever, everything. Nobody ever tells me anything.
Oh. Yes.
Men are so naive.
Yes.
We count on that, girls, don't we? Getting back to Steve's comment about men loving women's bodies. There was a survey done in Red Book recently that was finding the reason why men stray.
Yeah.
They said that
46% was because they weren't emotionally fulfilled. I'll rephrase that. It said 48 of men rated emotional dissatisfaction as the primary reason they cheated.
Yeah.
And only 12% of the men said that the women they were having the affairs with were more attractive than their wives.
You know, I actually have known a number of men who have had affairs and have left their wives, and the women they who were participating in this with them were not in any standard attractive, what you would call attractive.
Ah, yes, but they had something the wife didn't.
Something was going on.
You know what it is? Novelty.
Chemistry.
Yeah.
They have chemistry, but also men very much strongly want emotional satisfaction.
And we
but
don't
they
realize
find
it.
Somebody who could validate them, who fulfills them just the way it is for women. Then they're going to move toward that if they're dissatisfied in their marriage.
Gee, that is a well-kept secret. I don't, boy, if someone had told me that, I have to admit, I don't know that I would have even... You know, and at the same time, don't a lot of us women have affairs just because someone pays attention to us? And in a marriage, our husbands can be so distant and so not, you know, I not even noticing that something about us has changed. Like if you change your hair color, he may not even notice. I mean, what does that say?
It says something more about the quality of the relationship altogether.
Yeah.
Not just what's happening with the guy.
Right.
It means that you are out of communication with each other. You're not validating each other. You're not admiring each other. You're not creating love with each other every day or enough. I gave a little survey to my clients. It was very little. It was just 23 people. The results were the number one problem with women was communication, and the number one problem with men was communication.
Wow.
Oh.
The number two problem with women was compatibility, and it was number two with men also, which was tied, by the way, with intimacy with men.
Wow.
Actually, I'm not being, that isn't quite true. More men had, after communication, had sex as a problem, but they did have compatibility and intimacy in the same numbers, pretty much that the women did. So if you're finding in a marriage, and this doesn't have to be a marriage, because these weren't
right.
all married people. A lot of
mm-hmm.
these were single. That when you look at men and women and you're looking at where does attractiveness fit into the computation
yeah.
about what I need to do to be attractive to a man, yes, men are visual, but when it really comes down to it in a relationship, it's the communication that matters. Given that there's chemistry, and chemistry can happen...
Right.
No matter what you're looking like.
Exactly. It really can. And yet, for some reason, don't most of us women, don't we connect our physical desire to what our weight is? Don't we have a tendency to do that?
To think that men will think we're more desirable
depending
on what we weigh?
Excuse me, but, gee, Victoria's Secret can have a fashion show, an underwear fashion show, and the entire American public tunes in.
Well, they're beautiful, and it's great,
they are.
And it's sexy. I mean, we also like to see sexy movie stars in sexy films.
Yes. So
that doesn't mean that in life, when you're coming down to a relationship you're assuming is that you're dealing with people who are mature enough to have values.
Mm-hmm.
Relationships means you're relating. If you're just going to go have an affair or a fling, or somebody's just going to be with somebody as a, you know, sex buddy or whatever that is, then, you know, maybe the visual and the weight may matter. I doubt if it really does matter as much, but let's say it does matter. But when you're talking about a relationship, there's a lot more going on. So when I talk about people, when I'm looking at their bodies and what they look at, I say, hey, look at the whole picture. Number one, you've got to like your body. This is the body you have. Why shouldn't you like it? Why shouldn't you love it? Why shouldn't you do the best you can to make it beautiful?
Right.
We're all going to do that. We all want to do that. It helps our self-esteem. But we really got to look at our body and love it. And then we've got to look at who we are, what we have to give, who we're looking for, what kind of relationships we want, what kind of joy we want in our life, and put more emphasis on the personal attributes. Having good communication with somebody. If you want to work on something, maybe you need to work on your communication. If you want to put time into something in terms of getting a partner or keeping a good relationship with a partner, maybe you need to look at validating each other or how you validate the man, how he validates you.
That
sounds maybe you have to look at your intimacy skills.
That sounds so wonderful to me, and yet I guess being somebody who's been living in Orange County for far too many years, I can honestly say that the women in Orange County that I know, this discussion, we will all say to each other, oh, yes, this is really what it should be about. And then every one of us will get on the scale and make sure we haven't gained an ounce today for any reason. And every one of us will talk about how we shouldn't be eating something when we go out to eat. This is just what it is. And there's an expression, too. Honestly, it's, I'll never forget, at a birthday party in Orange County many years ago, I found this mug, and I thought, oh, it's perfect for the birthday girl. I just have to give this to her. And it was something to the effect of, it's not about who you are, it's what you wear. ... Who cares who you are? That was on the mug. And that was like the perfect slogan for life as a woman in Orange County. It still is.
That's because it's, you know, it's in a way that's really funny. It's being sarcastic.
Mm-hmm.
It's turning things around. It's humor. Yes, it is fun to dress. And it is fun to play, and girls in particular love to play dress up, and they love to get great clothes for their Barbie dolls, and all that is fun. And yes, why not make ourselves as beautiful as we can and have fun doing it?
Yeah, and really appreciate your body and your appearance. Some women will some women will do it. You know, I say, oh, gee, your hair looks nice. And they say, oh, I didn't even bother to comb it. It needs to be cut. And then I say, well, that's a nice dress you have on. Oh, this old thing was in the back of the closet. And, oh, did you lose weight? Oh, no, I'm a real pig. And finally say, okay, you convinced me, lady.
Well, you know, Steve keeps bringing up a very good point. Steve's a really good man.
He is.
And he's a man who loves women, obviously.
Here, here.
So I already love you, Steve. What he's bringing up is that very often women dress for themselves and for each other.
Right.
Oh,
so
that's
that,
true.
And they enjoy the clothes, they enjoy the dress up, they enjoy comparing themselves to other women, seeing what everybody's wearing, being creative. That's terrific, as long as you enjoy it. If you don't enjoy it, if it's making you upset, then something's wrong. The other point that he brings out is that men generally don't care that much.
Mm-hmm.
They just don't care that much. I mean, if you look very lovely, that's wonderful. Well, let me backtrack on that. Men are visual, yes. Men are visual. They're going to enjoy somebody who is visually pleasing to them, and that could be a big range, as we pointed out. It could be skinny women. It could be big women. It could be tall women, it could be short women, it could be busty women, it could be flat women, it could be women with long hair, short hair. There truly are men for every kind of woman there is.
Yeah,
so,
that's a really good point. And yet, somehow, why is it that we get so stuck that every man, and we convince ourselves that every man really wants to have a cheerleader, period, end of story.
Maybe because in high school, everyone didn't want to cheerleader. I don't know.
Well, is that it?
Then we grow up.
We can't get past that? That we're just kind of stuck back in that emotional range of, you know?
Fortunately, I went to school without cheerleaders, so I wasn't given that. The as you pointed out, we're flooded with images of women who look a certain way, mostly young girls.
Oh, yeah.
So if we're going to buy into that, we have to say not only do men want very, very skinny girls, but they want girls who are 18
right.
to 25. And surely on a sexual level,
yeah.
men do want women who are 65. It's not just 65, but 18 to 25.
Right. Yeah.
That's one element. That's what their biology wants.
Well, I think men are very immature in that regard, and I think
it's not immature, it's their, you know,
well,
their wiring.
I think if you go to other countries like Spain or France, you'll find that the men there have much more mature attitudes toward women. They treat women like adults, and I think that what happens in this country
mm-hmm.
is that parents are so terrified of the kids suddenly sexual arousal, awakening, that sort of thing, that they do anything to keep the sexes apart. And so that's the age at which you become fixated. And even though you're a 50, 60-year-old man, you're still looking at that cheerleader type. It's because that's what was frozen into your head.
And that was kind of...
you're masturbating to Playboy. Oh. And the images there, Playboy, are very specific. And on pornos, are very specific images of what...
And if you look at those, and if you look at those images, they are almost 100% of the time very, very young.
Oh, absolutely, because you get
past
that age, and things start changing. Absolutely, there's
that's
no question
what you're
going
to masturbate to. That's what that's going to be your fantasy. But when it comes to living,
yes.
Men and women are being fed various images of what a woman should look like.
Oh, big time.
However, when it comes to life, a person has to progress beyond that to the real living world of relationship and what's really important. Getting back to the survey, 48% of the men cheated because they were emotionally unfulfilled. And as you pointed out, Di, the person you know found somebody who was not very attractive but who fulfilled him emotionally. That doesn't mean that there wasn't sexual chemistry between them. It doesn't mean that part of the emotional fulfillment that she gave him, beside really liking him and validating him and understanding him, theoretically, was that they had a fabulous time in bed together. And so what she was able to create with him in bed was very good. That's very possible also. So what I'm saying to women is, if you want to be a better woman, don't just focus on your weight. If you're a man and want to be a better man, don't just focus on your weight. Focus on your relationship skills. Focus on your communication skills. Focus on your intimacy skills.
All of that. You know, if we were on television now, I would point to my sex organ. But I will tell you, we're in the studio. I'm pointing to my sex organ, which is my head.
Your brain.
My brain. Absolutely.
Yeah.
And I think that's very true. It goes along with what Judith Clare is saying.
Absolutely. And the same is true for women. The same is true for women in that, for example, if you ask women what they're most attractive to, I would say sense of humor. Ability to have a great conversation, fun to be with. And then I'd say, and I love a really nicely shaped bum. Okay. But that would literally be, you know, that's the physical attribute I like, but that would literally be the last thing I'd say.
Low on your list.
Yes.
That's right.
Because the time I spend with a man, my man, and the conversation and the fun and the sense of humor are so much more important to me. And that's what makes a man attractive
to
me.
Well, you look at humor and you look at sex. I mean, you can laugh all day long. See
yeah.
my point?
Well, yeah. Actually, yeah, that's so true. I know for me, trying to get to a point where I am totally comfortable with the body and the physical. And yet, it's interesting. I think I'm going to say something totally outrageous. But
wait a minute.
I actually
think. Can we get the children out of the room?
Yeah, get the children out of the room. Kids, don't try this at home.
Don't listen.
I actually, about myself, I actually love the way I look naked.
Oh.
I do.
You know,
I am so comfortable naked. Believe me, I run around my house without clothes on a lot because I think I look great naked. I'm hoping there's somebody in a telescope, you know, on the other side of the street who's watching. But the reality is...
Which is why you keep all the blinds up.
Yes, I keep the blinds open. The reality...
And the lights on.
Yes, but where I get crazy about myself and I actually feel like I don't measure up is how I look in clothes that do, you know, sort of accentuate, not that I try to, the parts of me that I think are a little less than what I'd like them to be. But as a whole, I think I look phenomenal.
Judith Clare, do you find that odd? I mean, to me, I didn't know that about you, and that is so strange that you're comfortable nude, but uncomfortable in some clothes.
I even say, the only reason I don't go to nude beaches is because not me. I don't want to look at the other people. Okay? Because personally, I'm like, you know, a nymph. I feel like a nymph without my clothes on.
Free spirit.
I really am. And I actually, and honestly, you know, all things considered, at, you know, 5'8", 140 pounds, and someone who does a lot of exercise, I really, you know, it's not bad without clothes.
That does it for me.
Yeah. So,
well, I expect there'll be, if there are men with, well, I expect that women may not play this for their men.
Yeah.
They may get new expectations for their girlfriends and wives, and they don't want them calling you Di, because there is a number that one could reach you, right?
Yeah, yeah. But you know what? I think, Judith, I think what this conversation, though, has really made me aware of is that a lot of a woman's concern about how she looks is reinforced. It's vis-a-vis other women. We really feel like we have to measure up to what the other woman, you know, our friends are doing, or the women we're meeting for lunch, or the neighbor, you know, who has gotten the plastic surgery and who has changed her body so that she looks like something, you know, that could be fantasy material for a young man. And I think we are trying to measure up to them as opposed to the men in our lives.
Or even more importantly, to ourselves.
Mm-hmm. Well, what do I have to do with anything?
I don't think it's bad to try to beautify yourself. I think it's natural, and I think it's wonderful, and I think it's very creative.
I agree with that. I do believe
I keep going back to the joy of creation. Right?
Mm-hmm.
You go into a store, you try something on, you say, "Ooh, I love the way I look in this. I love that color on me, or I love the way the fabric feels. I love the style, or it's really fun. I'm going to get something this season because it's different, it's new, it's fun."
Sure.
You're having fun with it.
Yeah.
It gets sort of distorted when it's not fun anymore, and where your own dissatisfaction with how you look in your body interferes with your joy in creating yourself.
Yeah. You know, that's a really great thought. And Judith, how can our listeners reach you? We are running out of time here, and we want to make sure. I know we could go on forever. We need to take over the station for the next 24 hours. We'd love it. But how can our listeners get in touch if they would like?
My phone number is 310-395-1088. My website is www.judithclairecounseling.com.
Easy enough.
Judithclaire counseling, counseling.com. Do we have time before we stop for me to make one more comment?
Certainly.
If it's quick.
Okay. I've done this for 32 years. I have women of all shapes and sizes who come in. They get fabulous relationships, and they learn to, you know, love who they are, basically, first and foremost, and create joy. And understand if they're not creating joy, that there's something that they need to change in their attitude.
Yeah. Well, and I like that. If we talk about it in terms of creating joy, I think that is a magnificent way to look at this. And Judith Clair, thank you so much.
You're welcome, Di. Thank you so much.
And always, have a great
day. Thanks so much, Steve.
Always a delight talking to you, my dear.
Bye
now. Have a great day, everyone.
Bye now.
Bye.
Well, she's always so nice and personable.
She is, and she has a lot of great things to say. And we want to thank all our listeners today listening to Better Times After 50, which Steve and I try to live and be.
That's yes, we
at
do.
All times.
And we have a great time, and it's always fun being with you. Are you going to strip down now?
I'm not going to strip down, but I am going to say thank you to Kristen Farson for letting us take over her studio today. And everyone, have a great
day. And thank
day.
You, engineer.
Yes, she's wonderful. Bye-bye now.
Ten percent of me can read.
30% of me is employed.
I am untapped.
I am undiscovered.
I am the blind in America.
I am capable of so much more.
When the blind can read, the blind can achieve. But today, only 10% of blind Americans read Braille. Let's change that. Invest in the Louis Braille Commemorative Silver Dollar and help the National Federation of the Blind put more Braille education, resources, and opportunities for success in the hands of more blind children and adults. The Louis Braille Bicentennial Silver Dollar is a one-of-a-kind coin, a true work of art, cast in 90% silver, and the first U.S. coin to feature readable Braille. Order your Louis Braille Bicentennial Silver Dollar today, the coin with the power to do more. Visit braille.org or usmint.gov or call the U.S. Mint at 1-800-USA-MINT.